When we don't understand how someone's mind works, it can be difficult to know how to interact with that person. And people with Asperger's syndrome, I know, find it challenging to fit into expected social situations. That's difficult enough. But when Asperger's syndrome is mentioned in relation to a horrific crime, like what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School, it can lead to misunderstanding, it can lead to fear, and even worse. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in, and we're very lucky to have Katie Watermolen with us today. She is a doctor of clinical psychology, a lead clinician at Integrated Development Services in Madison, here to answer our questions and talk with us about Asperger's syndrome. Certainly, we hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. You may be a parent of a child with Asperger's, or you may be an adult with it. What's your experience been like? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can even post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And Katie Watermolen, thank you so much. Pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Let's start with a basic description of Asperger's syndrome. What are the indicators that someone may have it?
Okay. Well, at this point, with the current DSM-4, which is going to change very soon, sometime scheduled for the spring of next year, things will be changing a little bit. But right now we're looking at delays in social interactions with other people, sometimes difficulty initiating social interactions, engaging in social interactions, using social language, recognizing facial expressions, body language, that sort of thing, as well as a tendency to have very specific interests, what we call stereotypical interests, interests that are focused on one area or another. And oftentimes kids with Asperger's become very, very knowledgeable about these topics. Unfortunately, you know, these topics can range from, you know, tornado sirens to lampposts to, you know, the lights in a building, which don't exactly make for the best social conversation with other same-age peers.
Yeah. And does it relates to Asperger's relates to autism?
Yes, it does.
In what ways?
Well, autism is a diagnosis that also includes delays in language development. So an Asperger's diagnosis is very similar to a diagnosis of autism, but doesn't include the delays in language development. However, there are delays in language development as far as social language. So kids with Asperger's may have developed language, expressive and receptive language, on time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they use language to communicate and interact the way that typically developing kids would.
And the rates of what about the rates of Asperger's and autism in the U.S.?
Well, that varies. You know, the CDC recently put out a statistic suggesting 1 in 88 kids on the autism spectrum. So, you know, which is the highest that it's ever been. And it, you know, that went up from a couple years ago when the rate was 1 in 110. So there's some thought that, you know, the rates are definitely increasing. I would say, you know, kids on the autism spectrum, you know, with those statistics, I think it varies depending on the diagnosis.
Yeah.
You know, kids with Asperger's, it's, it could be more like 1 in 150, 1 in 200, depending on how you're evaluating that diagnosis.
And you feel it, and people feel that it really is increasing. It's not that we're just doing a better job of detecting it or understanding what it is.
That's a good question. I think it's a combination of the two. I think we are definitely getting better at assessing and diagnosing Asperger's and autism spectrum disorders. But I would say that, you know, I have seen a definite increase over the years in the frequency of that diagnosis.
And do we have ideas about what causes
I think everybody has a different idea. I think that there is a ton of research out there right now looking at what the possible causes might be and how we can treat that. You know, there's some camps that are looking at environmental factors as being a definite cause of this diagnosis. I think there are camps that look at, you know, medical procedures. Certainly, you know, there's been this controversy about vaccines and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that there is, you know, for every child diagnosed, I think that there are, you know, very strong beliefs in what caused it. And I think, you know, I think we're headed in the right direction as far as understanding the causes of it.
And, you know, we get some callers online. I want to take some calls. But I want to, before we do that, you mentioned DSM earlier, mm-hmm. and that refers to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual
yes.
of Mental Disorders,
yes.
if I got that right.
Yes, yes.
And so the new fifth edition is coming out, published by the American Psychiatric mm-hmm. Association. So,
right.
And so Asperger's is moving, isn't it, somehow among the definition?
Right. So the way that the DSM-4 is laid out is there is a diagnosis code and criteria for autism. There's a diagnostic code and criteria for Asperger's. And then there's a diagnostic code and criteria for what's called pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified. And so what my understanding is what the DSM-5 does is it puts all of those diagnoses in a category by itself, which they call autism spectrum disorders. And then, you know, it's made up of different categories or different criteria that somebody could, you know, two people could have the same diagnosis, but look very different based on the criteria.
Okay. Well, Ann in Brookfield with us. Thank you for calling, Ann. Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'm a child neurologist, and I have some experience with children with Asperger's syndrome. I've been practicing for about 20 years. And one of the things that I wanted to state is that children with Asperger's, as your previous guest had stated, they do have difficulties with social interaction and have difficulty anticipating nonverbal cues. But they're usually very, very much straight arrows.
Mm-hmm.
They have difficulty formulating behavior that is deceitful or malicious or, in a way, organized malevolence. So usually children with Asperger's, you might find a temper tantrum for no known reason. But behavior which is planned and then set out to be carried out, organized violence is not characteristic of Asperger's syndrome at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I do want to add my two cents into this, that to state that a child has Asperger's syndrome, and then if the said child has perpetrated some act of organized violence, it would be not quite logical from a medical perspective to jump to the conclusion that the diagnosis that we know about, which is Asperger's, was the underlying condition that directly resulted in the organized violence.
Mm-hmm.
So my suspicion when I hear that a child who has been diagnosed with Asperger's, if that individual has perpetrated organized crime that has been planned systematically for some time, then automatically my question as a professional would be, what other underlying diagnosis existed in this person
mm-hmm. yeah.
that was not quite delineated or diagnosed?
Yeah. Katie Watermelon, would you agree with the...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're spot on. And I think, you know, the importance of talking about this and doing a show about this is specifically to help people to understand that a diagnosis of Asperger's doesn't cause you to be a mass murderer. There is definitely something else going on in a young man like this, or you know, in other people that results in this type of behavior.
Yes, and I absolutely wanted to state that because assuming or even giving the impression in public that Asperger's may have in some way even been connected with doing an act like this would be a gross injustice.
Right, absolutely. And as soon as I read in the paper that, you know, the word Asperger's associated with this young man, you know, I was terrified at what, you know, people with Asperger's will be facing as a result of this.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anne, for
You're
calling.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate your call. Lynn in Brookfield, we'll give you a chance well, let's do it right now. Lynn in Brookfield, let's go to you. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. My husband is 60 years old and after many years now has just been diagnosed last spring with Asperger's. And what I'm finding is that so much of the discussion is about children, and it's very difficult to come up with resources and obviously even the diagnosis was difficult to come by. And I'm just wondering what kinds of resources are out there and available for family members.
Right. I think that's a great question, and you're absolutely right. I think this is a diagnosis that can be made later in life, and there aren't a lot of resources because we, you know, we pool all of our resources into serving very young children so that they don't struggle later on in life. You know, I think the AutismSpeaks.org is a good organization, you know, just as far as getting basic information. You know, I know that the, you know, the web is filled with, you know, resources. But I unfortunately don't have a good answer for you as far as specific resources that you can use for your husband or for yourself regarding Asperger's syndrome.
Is there some sort of association or...
I'm sure that there is, and unfortunately I'm blanking on the name right now. And that's, you know, that's why it's good to check out, you know, some websites specifically regarding Asperger's. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know if there are websites specifically for Asperger's and older folks.
Lynn, one thing you might do is you can go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and we have a link. That's John Elder Robison, a member of Autism Speaks. I have a link there that there's a discussion of Asperger's syndrome, and I would bet I haven't read the entire thing myself. So, but I bet there are some other links from that one.
Okay.
And at least that's a good start for you. So go to my Facebook page, go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can see that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Kater Watermolen, our guest today, doctor of clinical psychology and a lead clinician at Integrated Development Services in Madison, talking with her today about Asperger's syndrome, understanding it, and really great to have her with us, and certainly great to have you listening in as well. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about Asperger's syndrome today with our guest, Katie Watermolen, a doctor of clinical psychology at Integrated Development Services in Madison. As we visit with her, hope you'll join in. Maybe you are an adult with Asperger's. What's your experience been? Are there kids with Asperger's in your children's classes? You talk with your child to help them understand those students. Maybe you're a parent of a child with Asperger's. Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. And as a matter of fact, we have a Facebook question from Stephen, who's wondering, is Asperger's something that develops at a certain point in a person's developmental stage, or is it something that you are born with typically?
I think that's a really good question, and I think that's what a lot of the research is looking at, about whether or not It is something that kids are born with and then somehow surfaces at a later point. Or if it is something, you know, some parents will say, my child was typically developing, everything was normal up until age 2 or age 3 or age 4. And then there was a, you know, clearly something happened.
Yeah.
And I think other parents looking back can say, I knew something was different about this child from the moment they were born. So I think research is looking at that, and I don't, you know, I don't have a clear answer for that question, because I think we're still trying to figure that out.
Davey in Tinley Park, Illinois, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
I just like to say, I saw this movie just the other day. It was called Mozart and the Whale.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it.
It's about two people with Asperger's. It's about a group of people that, you know, have different, and how they get together. And
but okay.
With Asperger's, get, you know, they try to get along, and they end up getting married later on in the movie, but it's a great story.
Okay.
So Mozart and the Whale is the title.
Yeah, Mozart and the Whale. But I just like to ask Katie, you know, does that have anything to do with, like, you know, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere? You know, each one trying to take over control of, you know what I mean, of what's being carried on in the conversation?
I can't answer that question because I'm not exactly sure. I think that there is, like I said, I think there's a lot of research going on right now about which areas of the brain are functioning in different capacities, you know, as far as making choices about social situations and emotions and those sorts of things. So I think that there will be a lot of really exciting research published in the next 10 years that will definitely clarify kind of areas of the brain. And what areas are responsible for emotions and social interactions and that sort of thing.
So the research is fairly new, mm-hmm. relatively speaking.
I think so. I think that, you know, with the advent of more sophisticated tools like a functional MRI, which can look at somebody's brain functioning as it's happening, I think those things are really amazing at looking at picking up on, you know, emotional functioning and social interactions and responses to different stimuli. So,
yeah. Davey, thank you so much. I want to give George in Green Bay a chance to join in. George, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. How are you today?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Yeah. My son is 25 now. And his diagnosis is called PDD.
Mm-hmm.
He has elements of both Asperger's, autism, and other mixed.
Mm-hmm.
The best way that they can describe it is crossed wires,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And there's like, to try to find resources or help for Asperger's or any of these things. And then, of course, to try to get him any kind of income other than, you know, he's always the odd duck,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that kind of stuff that's like unthought of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to comment on that. And then I had one other comment, you know, along with we were talking about mental health, and we have been a lot in these last few days, especially with what's happened. I haven't heard anybody bring up the fact that in the 70s, late 70s, 80s, many of the hospitals were shut down because of people's rights.
Mm.
And now that's retracting somewhat. So that was all I had.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
In terms of, is that a problem? Are many people able to function, have jobs with Asperger's?
Absolutely. I think, I think probably some of our best scientists, computer engineers, I think they're probably, not to stereotype or pigeonhole, but I would say that, you know, those are well-suited careers for people on the autism spectrum because they involve very little interaction with people. And very specific interactions with machines that are very, they behave in very specific ways, which feels very good for kids, people that are on the autism spectrum.
Okay. Maya in Manitowoc. Hi, thank you for calling.
Can she hear you?
How do I, on
Maya?
My phone?
Yes, go ahead.
How can I do that if I'm in the car and it'll go to Bluetooth?
Hello? Maya, are you there? Okay, we lost that caller. Let's go to Sonia in the Twin Cities. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, actually, I am in a car as well. I hope you can hear me okay.
We can.
Okay, I'm calling my son's best friend, and they're both in their 20s now, but he has Asperger's. My son happens to have Tourette, so it's kind of an interesting partnership they have. But he is incredibly creative.
Mm-hmm.
What he's actually most noted for, and he has a video on YouTube, is he's created these amazing structures with connects.
Mm-hmm.
He is a computer science major. He also composed all the music for it. And so he can just sit down at the piano and create compositions. And so he's very intelligent and very creative. But like you said, he's thinking about what is he going to apply this. He's a senior mm-hmm. in college this year. And how does he apply this design and his creativity, but also the issues of dealing with people.
Right.
And that is an issue. But he's amazingly intelligent and creative as well. So
right.
I just wanted to pass that on.
That's great.
Yeah, okay. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. We'll get back to that in a bit. Julie and Franklin, your turn. Hi, Julie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I actually work at the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin.
Excellent.
And we are a society that services the 9 counties in southeastern Wisconsin, although there are also several other societies throughout the state. But we have a lot of resources available right here for people. We have an Adults on the Spectrum support group.
Oh, excellent.
And that meets the third Wednesday of every month at our office in Franklin. We also have an evening support group, and we have a daytime support group, too. Just a lot of resources out there. We have a parent series that we do. We do education at Children's Hospital, education for teachers, have someone answering the phone 4 days a week so people can call up, ask questions, ask where they can get local support. We're just here to help people as much as we can.
Well, that's wonderful. Julie, do you have, by chance, a website?
Yes, please. That is www.assew.org.
A-S-S-E-W?
E-W.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. .org.
Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin.
Gotcha.
And a phone number, too, if I could give that out.
Sure.
It's 414-427-9345.
414-427-9315?
45.
Sorry.
Yep.
You know what? Thank you so much, Julie. We're going to put this up on my Facebook page.
Super.
So people can, if they didn't get that written down, they can just go to my Facebook page and get it for sure. And I assume the Autism Society then would have, in other parts of the state, be active?
Absolutely, yes. There are several different societies throughout Wisconsin. And if people want to... if they're calling from other parts of the state, they can still call our number, and we'll help to direct them to the correct Autism Society in Wisconsin to get the most local help that they can. So
excellent.
we want to help support people, get the information out there. We have people on staff who have people on the spectrum themselves, children on the spectrum themselves.
Wow.
I have 3 kids on the spectrum. We also have educators on staff here who just can relate to some of the things going on in the school, the community, day-to-day living. So we just
sounds wonderful.
Want to help get the support out there to people. But we're very local mm-hmm. and deal with what's going on right here in your backyard.
Julie, thank you so much.
That is terrific.
Yeah, that's just terrific. And, again, we'll have that information up on my Facebook page. So just go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's my Facebook page. You don't have to be a member of Facebook to go to it. You can go there and get the information or click and go right to those sources. Appreciate it very much. And Maya in Manitowoc. I think we've got her now. Hi, Maya. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
My question relates to something you brought up on the program about the DSM manual.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with testing, you can also test young people for behavioral disorders, BD, emotional disorders, ED. Is it possible that this person that in Connecticut could have had multiple disorders which if you are diagnosed Asperger, would you also be tested for ED and DD?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Asperger's is not mutually exclusive. You know, there are plenty of kids that have, you know, a diagnosis of, you know, whether it be Asperger's or depression or anxiety that also carry other diagnoses. And so none of those diagnoses are, you know, occur in a vacuum. There's a great possibility that other diagnoses were also present.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's too bad we didn't hear more about it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do want to reemphasize that Asperger's, as we've talked about earlier, someone with Asperger's would actually think that the person would be much less likely to commit such a crime than those who don't have it. So I wanted to make sure that we get that point across. Lewis in Superior, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. I'm an adult with Asperger's,
mm-hmm.
and have known a lot of other adults with Asperger's, mm-hmm. Basically science fiction fans.
Okay.
There's been a lot of speculation in the science fiction fan community about the connection between science fiction fans and Asperger's. Not all science fiction fans have Asperger's, but it does seem like a large number of them do, and this has been speculated on since, I believe, the early 1990s,
mm-hmm.
when a sister of a science fiction fan who is also a speech therapist, I believe, noticed the difference in patterns of speaking, of the way fans spoke to each other, and it was, there's an article on the web about it, except I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I will just hang up and listen for the answers. Or
comments. Yeah, thanks a lot, Lewis, for calling.
Right.
And Katie, watermelon?
I think it's interesting, you know, I think that there are pockets of people, you know, either on the autism spectrum or not, that have very similar interests. And I think one of the goals of working with anybody on the spectrum is hooking them up with other people who have similar interests, because there are a lot of people, like you said, that are science fiction fans that are also, you know, also fall in the autism spectrum. And what a great resource, what a great support for those people to have a place to talk about their interests.
Yes.
with like-minded people.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Lewis, for calling. And by the way, you can join in, too, if you have a question or comment. Again, maybe you're an adult with Asperger's, like Lewis, or maybe you have a parent or a child with Asperger's. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. And just an interesting Facebook comment from Laura here, who says, my son has a child with Asperger's in his class. The boy's a great kid, and it's heartbreaking to watch other classmates avoid him. I tried to talk to my son about it without making much headway, but when our family sat down and watched the movie Temple Grandin, it suddenly seemed to click for all of my kids. My son is now willing to sit down to lunch with his classmate and is more understanding about the obsessive discussions on rocks.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, like any other condition, whether it's a physical condition or an emotional condition, you know, there's a lot of mystery surrounding it. And once you help somebody to better understand that, you take away that mystery and they feel much more comfortable around that person. So, you know, the fact that this kiddo can sit and listen to this child, you know, probably talk at length about rocks is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's great to have, you know, to be able to talk about that and have that discussion, even if it might be a little more one-sided than maybe this kiddo prefers.
Well, yeah, it's great. And Temple Grandin, mm-hmm. Who's written several books, mm-hmm. and has Asperger's, mm-hmm. and has had a wonderful career.
Right, right. She's an amazing scientist and, you know, kind of a very public figure in the autism world, and a very, very funny person. If you ever have an opportunity to see her speak, she did a TED Talks. I know that there's this movie out about her. She's just a very funny person.
And a listener asked that you discuss how females display Asperger's differently from males.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I think, I think we start to see significant differences, in females and males with Asperger's when, there starts to become more social challenges. Females tend to, and again, I don't want to generalize, but, females tend to communicate more with words. There tends to be a lot more rules around social interactions. They tend to use their words to communicate, emotion more effectively than males do. And those are all of the things that people with Asperger's and people on the autism spectrum struggle with. So when you have a female, sometimes the disparity between where her same age peers are, socially and emotionally, and communicatively, sometimes that distinction is just greater. And so you have oftentimes, kids with Asperger's, it's not always that they don't want to interact. They do want to interact. They just don't know how. And so I think you see that the greater disparity. And as a result of that, sometimes we see more anxiety and more depression in females that have Asperger's because they recognize that they just don't get it. And they recognize that, their same age peers, the other girls in their classes are, leaps and bounds ahead of them socially and emotionally. And that is distressing for them.
We have an email from Mary Beth, who says, "Thank you for doing this show to raise awareness. My 10-year-old son has Asperger's, and so much is misunderstood about it. He goes to a small school, and other families know and are supportive, as are the teachers and staff, taking care of him and managing his different activities, such as therapy, is almost a full-time job."
Mm-hmm. I empathize with that comment, and I think, other families are in the same boat. When you have a child on the spectrum and you have their, whether it's their therapy such as IDS provides, whether it's occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, group therapy, psychotherapy, mm-hmm. It does start to become a full-time job because you are constantly bringing them, to different people, to work on the different areas that they need help in.
And as we've kind of heard here, there's often there can be bullying and harassment of people with Asperger's, so it's hard for them to fit in socially. How do parents help their children understand and show compassion toward children in their classes who may have it?
Right.
And
right.
I think the movie was Temple Grandin mm-hmm. worked for that family. What other things might a family do?
Right. So there are some families of kids that are on the spectrum that choose to do some psychoeducation in their kids' classrooms. And sometimes, kids that are on the spectrum very much want their parents or their teachers to explain to the other kids about their diagnosis, and to help their classmates to understand, I don't try to be annoying or I don't try to talk about rocks all the time just because, I want to annoy you. This is why I talk about rocks all the time, so to really help them understand, their communication delays, their social difficulties, and to really help other kids to understand that. And I think opening up that conversation in schools, opening up that conversation at home, I think it's wonderful that parent, had, her children watch the Temple Grandin yeah. movie. I think just having a better understanding of that, is going to help everybody to be more empathic about it and also to be less frightened of a diagnosis like that.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of help here for people, and I think for parents with kids out there with Asperger's, is there a good way to address that Sandy Hook shooter business?
Well, that's a good question. I think that depending on the age of the child, their developmental level, their cognitive level, I think so much, and their interest level in the topic. I think, you know, so much of what a parent shares and how much a parent shares depends on that. So, you know, whether you have a child that is, you know, on the autism spectrum or not, I think it's important to, you know, to help a child to understand what happened at their developmental level and as the questions arise.
Yeah.
I also think it's really important for kids to understand, you know, if the question of Asperger's comes up as far as relating to this kid who did this shooting, to help kids to understand that just because there was this diagnosis does not necessarily mean that, you know, I mean, that didn't cause this child to do this.
And Judith came up with one other a book for middle grade readers. It's mm-hmm. called The Reinvention of Edison Thomas.
Okay.
By a Wisconsin author, Jacqueline Houtman. It's called The Reinvention of Edison Thomas, and it can help kids appreciate other children who have Asperger's.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
so
great.
We'll put that up.
Okay.
We'll put that up on my Facebook page in case people didn't get it. It's The Reinvention of Edison Thomas. And
that's great.
Once again, Katie, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been wonderful, and I hope we can have you back and do this
Excellent.
Again.
Excellent. Thank you.
Katie Watermelon is a doctor of clinical psychology, lead clinician in integrated development services in Madison, and it was she really shared some valuable information. Hopefully, it'll help increase awareness and understanding of people living with Asperger's syndrome. I certainly hope it does. Coming up next, we'll find out how this year's flu season is shaping up in Wisconsin, what to do to prevent it or at least treat it if we can't avoid it. It's important information to keep you healthy, so I hope you'll stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.